The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino, a discussion beyond the headlines with and about newsmakers who impact our lives on AM 870, The Answer.
Coming up on this edition of Sunday Morning Newsmakers, we'll talk with George Papadopoulos, candidate for Congress, District 25.
I assume and I believe that most of the Republicans in my district support the president because the president's agenda and the Republican Party's policies today have been more transformative than ever before, in my opinion.
Then we head to Sacramento for exclusive interviews with Senators John Morlock.
So in 800 square miles, we have more than 3 million people. Why would you want to bring the individuals quarantined for coronavirus here?
Senator Brian Jones.
I have co-authored a constitutional amendment to undo AB 5 altogether.
Republican Senator Mike Morrell.
We wanted full disclosure and transparency. At that point, the parents can review the material, and then it puts the parents in the driver's seat, not the bureaucracy.
And John Kabatek, the state director for NFIB California.
Now more than ever, California small business owners need to be heard.
Talk about what's going on in politics in Sacramento right now. But first, California's homelessness crisis is a disgrace. That word from Governor Gavin Newsom during his recent second State of the State speech. He said the richest state in the richest nation is falling so far behind to house, heal, and humanely treat so many of its own people. He added, the hard truth is we ignored the problem. Newsom announced more mobile trailers were headed to Santa Clara, Riverside, Contra Costa, and Sonoma counties, as well as the city of Stockton. He also revealed the state is making available 286 properties to help the homeless. The governor has also called for more money. We're going to talk about all that and more with our At the Heart of the Homeless Crisis expert and Annie Bales from Union Rescue Mission, the CEO, joining us. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you, Larry.
Well, he's laid it out, even acknowledging there's some fault here. We've ignored the problem. He's asking for money. There has been some reaction to this, criticism. There's one agency in the government that kind of assesses things called the legislative analyst. They're criticizing the effectiveness of the state's homeless plan. A new analysis from the state nonpartisan legislative analyst office says Governor Newsom's budget proposal likely won't have a meaningful impact, quote, on California's homeless population. Newsom wants to spend another $750 million on homelessness. His proposal shifts the decision-making authority from local governments to regional administrators who would decide how to spend the funds. There is some hint that that means he wants to shift away local control so that others can determine whether a homeless shelter will open up next to your house. It's a controversial subject. Good to have you on.
Thank you, Larry. And yeah, it seems like they not only have created the problem by the methods they've been using, but now they want to be severe critics of any new proposal. And frankly, they have failed. And a lot of people are blaming the governor. But as we know, he's only been in office about a year. And he told me at a breakfast before he became governor that others in the past have let this issue continue and people have ignored it. And he was going to make it his number one issue. My only hope is that he will also welcome federal intervention as well, because this is really an all hands on deck situation. We need the local government to step up. We need the state government to step up. We need the regional to step up, and we need Washington, D.C. in on this. This is truly a FEMA-like crisis, a FEMA-like disaster, and I'm glad the governor has stepped up.
There is another story to report. This involves the Los Angeles Homeless Services Authority, who recently announced a method to address homelessness and supportive housing availability that's similar to natural disaster responses. Where have I heard this before?
You've heard it. You've heard me crying out for it from 2015 on.
This is from the interim director, executive director, Heidi Marston. I don't know if you've met her. She
yes.
just came in. She spoke about Housing Central Command. It is a new initiative to revamp how city, county, and federal agencies work together to increase the speed and effectiveness to help homeless people move into housing. It's going to use real-time data of the city's permanent supportive housing availability as well as funding streams to try to quickly move people into housing.
And all of a sudden, Heidi, a good friend and co-laborer, I guess you would say, discovered 3,000 units that had not previously been accounted for at their discretion to be used for housing. But again, I'll say we not only need to solve the housing situation, make it more innovative, make it more affordable, but we also need to immediately triage, shelter people, and not leave them on the streets to be devastated by homelessness.
You know, you mentioned the housing availability. One of the sore subjects on that is, why isn't more housing stock built? And I've talked to people over the years who say, look, California is a very difficult place to do anything.
Yes.
I had Andy Pudsner on the air. He was the former head of CKE Industries, Carl's Jr. And he says it's easier to open a Carl's restaurant in Siberia than it is to open one in Los Angeles. They can get one open in Texas and in Siberia in 6 months, 2 years to open a single restaurant in Los Angeles.
I've heard the same thing from housing developers, that they can do it. The city comes to them with the land, comes to them with the financing to help them do housing immediately in most cities, most states, and in Los Angeles, none of that happens. None of the way is paved for developers to come in and do housing.
There are also other requirements. Unions have a very strong hold on things here. Certain prevailing wage laws, add to that new solar panel requirements that can drive up the cost of a unit by $10,000. How do they hope to get this done without getting some serious variances?
Yeah, they are going to have to get some serious variances. They are going to have to make this the FEMA-like disaster approach that needs to happen. I have some good news for you, Larry.
Okay, let's hear some good news.
On February 28th, Friday at 11 o'clock, we broke ground on the Angeles House, 86 family units, capacity for 72,000 square feet. We had members of HUD come out. We had county supervisors come out. But I have to say, we did it with all private money because we do not want to lose the right to transform lives through the power of Christ. And so it's a faith-based accomplishment and all private money.
Take a moment to explain to our listeners what the restrictions are when you do a government fund versus a private sector. I mean, we're seeing stories in the news right now about in things going to the high court when it comes to adoption and Catholic Family Services and their faith-based and how that's becoming a political issue. Give us an example in the homeless issue, how taking government dollars is a challenge.
If we took government funding, Measure H or Measure HHH, currently, because there has not been an exception made yet by HUD, if we took that money, we would have to allow alcohol and drug use on the premises because of the harm reduction model. Another complaint I have about the permanent supportive housing harm reduction.
Explain that in a little more detail. So if you take government HH money, built in there is a requirement that these shelters allow drug use. Explain.
Yes. So you cannot ask somebody to not use alcohol and drugs.
Why not?
Because they believe in the harm reduction model. Take them in as they are. Allow them to use alcohol and drugs unless it, of course, disrupts all the other people in the building.
Why wouldn't that? Because
it will.
There's a story about a hospital in Southern California where an individual went in for an illness and the person in the bed next to him beat him to death, allegedly.
Right.
What's to say, in your facility, what's to protect against somebody who's high on meth or crack from going over and pummeling someone else?
Again, that's exactly the reason we do not take the government money, because we understand that that is potentially what will happen. What we know is that drugs flow freely, drug use flows freely, drug sales flows freely. People that show up to beat you up because you haven't paid your drug bills happens regularly, and that's why early on I was a critic of permanent supportive housing harm reduction model, and that's why we will not take it. Another thing is that a man who is fully anatomically male but thinks he's a woman, he has the right, if you take government money, he has the right to bunk and shower with the ladies if you take government money. Another reason we do not. And I just released I don't know if you saw this, Larry, but I released a study that since Housing First harm reduction policy has been introduced as a policy, before that, homelessness had on the streets had dropped 31%. Since Housing First as a policy has been introduced, street homelessness has skyrocketed 51% in Los Angeles and 15.6% across the United States, because we've focused on a few and we've left the many on the streets. And now the cost per unit has gone up to $700,000 per unit per person. And when you focus all the resources on a few, you leave the many out in the cold. And that's exactly what has been done. And I further say, by leaving the many out in the cold, you did Housing First for chronically homeless, mentally ill, to address chronic mentally ill homelessness. But instead, you've exacerbated, in fact, skyrocketed it exponentially, because you've left so many out on the streets for so long. They've now become the chronic homeless.
Andy Bales is with us, Union Rescue Mission. We are doing our series at the heart of the homeless crisis. Andy, when you and I started talking about this about a year ago, wasn't it 570,000 or something?
Yes, it's climbed. Yeah,
and the reason for the increase is what?
Multiple reasons, but
cost of labor,
as you said, cost of labor, union cost, you know, the current wage that is required, land costs, but also developers. I think 40% of the cost goes to soft costs, and it's the developers who've benefited more than the people who are desperate on the streets have benefited.
Final 30 seconds, as always, make a push for support. Go ahead.
Well, we couldn't do any of this without your support. All of our work is done through private funds. You can go to urm.org, make a gift of any amount. Both helps us with our 15 new units out at Hope Gardens, helps us with our sprung structure downtown, as well as operating downtown, and our new site, which is being built right now at the Angelus House in South L.A.
And when do you anticipate that the new Angelus House will be completed and ready to go?
We hope the Angelus Satellite for Families will open up in 12 to 15, and at the latest, 18 months from today.
And again, how many will that house?
86 families who currently have nowhere to go will have a place to call home while we help them bounce back.
Andy Bales, CEO of Union Rescue Mission, thank you for joining us on our segment at the heart of the homeless crisis.
Thank
really
you,
appreciate
Ray.
It. Take care.
Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino.